Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
All right, if you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7 in just a moment. We're starting a new series this morning, Reboot. It's going to be a four-week series. I encourage you not to miss any of them because I believe that they're going to be vital for your relationship with the Lord. And today's message is rebooting our relationship with the Lord. If you use computers any at all, you know that there's times when the system gets slow and bogged down and freezes, and you got that little thing just keeps going, that little ball in the middle that just keeps going. You ever had that happen to you? Amen? And that dreaded spinning wheel in the middle of the screen, and there's nothing that you can do. You're hitting buttons, you're Control-Alt-Delete to try to shut down. It won't even do that. And what happens is that as you're using different programs and different processes are running in the background, it uses up the RAM memory, the readily accessible memory on your computer, so everything starts to slow down and it gets bogged down. And the only solution sometimes is to do what? Reboot. You have to turn off the computer and you have to start it back up so that whatever is causing it to slow down, whatever's causing it to hang up, is going to be cleared from the RAM memory. And when it comes back up, it generally starts working again. Have you had that experience? Because you got to clear out all that junk that is slowing down the memory so that the computer can function again. And do you know there are times in our own lives as believers that we need a spiritual reboot? This is the perfect time of the year to reboot our lives spiritually, because at the beginning of the year, we're all thinking about the changes that we want to make this year, right? We want to be different this year. Maybe we want to pray more. We want to be closer to God. Whatever it is, we're thinking about the changes that we want to make this year. And in this series, we're going to be talking about how we can reboot our lives, how we can clear out the things that over time have come in to bog us down spiritually, and we need to start again. We need to clear out all that junk and we need to start again. So what I encourage you to do over the next several weeks is to invite God to reboot your souls. For some, this series is a reminder, but for others, it's an invitation to come to Jesus and allow him to remove all the junk that bogs down our life and ask him to reboot our soul. Now, to help us all understand how to do that, we're going to start with Jesus' own words, his own message to his church about how to reboot our relationship with him. Read with me, if you will, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New King James. The scripture says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand." The one who's holding the seven stars is the Lord. Seven stars, they are representative of the seven churches to which he's writing, actually to the pastors, the messengers of those churches, and the golden lampstand with the seven golden lampstands, those represent the church, all right? He says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot tolerate those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they're apostles and are not, and you have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you." And the force of the Greek is actually saying, "I have this serious charge against you, that you have left your first love." He didn't say they stopped loving him. He said they left their first love. "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do your first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans." The Nicolaitans were people who claimed to be Christian, but they were lawless. They believed you could live any way you want and still be a Christian. That's quite a popular teaching today in many churches. Doesn't matter how you live, God's a God of grace, God's a God of love, come as you are, stay as you are, you can go to heaven as you are. God saves us as we are, but he saves us to change us, to make us holy, to perfect us. But anyway, he says, you have this, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In other words, you'll be able to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. But Jesus is speaking to the church at Ephesus, but he is also speaking to us. And the church, they had a lot going for them. In fact, if you were looking for a church, this might be a church that would attract you. I mean, they were busy for the Lord. They had true doctrine. They didn't tolerate false teachers. They had a lot going for them. Jesus said, I know your works. So the church of Ephesus was doing a lot of right stuff. They were a busy church. They were doing a lot of ministry. They didn't tolerate evil in their midst. They were doctrinally pure. They valued the truth of God's word. They rejected false teachers. They endured hardship for the sake of Christ. They had a lot of good things going on. There are a lot of characteristics in this church that would mark a good church, that if you were looking for a church, these are some of the stuff you would look for. But then comes the rebuke or the correction. In verse 4, Jesus says, nevertheless, despite all this good stuff that you're doing, I have this serious charge against you. You have left your first love. So outwardly, they're doing all the right things. But in essence, they had forgotten the real reason for why they were doing what they were doing. They had neglected their relationship with the one for whom they were supposed to be doing all the stuff that they were doing. The passion of their relationship with the Lord had given way to the performance of duty. Do you know you can keep performing your religious duty without having a passion for the Lord? A lot of people do that. Some might even be here today, not any of you. But some might be here today out of the performance of ritual, out of duty, but not because you are in love with Jesus and you just want to meet with him and want more of him. Amen? Jesus warns that they were in danger of losing their place in his church. He was going to remove their lampstand. He was going to remove their place from his church. So it symbolized an exclusion from the body of Christ. You're going to be cut off from the body of Christ. But Jesus doesn't leave them with the problem. He doesn't leave them with the condemnation. Jesus never just condemns and walks away. He always gives grace. He always gives an opportunity for return and for restoration. And what Jesus tells them in essence is they needed a spiritual reboot, a spiritual reboot. In biblical terms, or in terms that we would understand, that's a revival. You all need to be revived, he's saying. Amen. And revive means to bring back to life. If somebody has had a heart attack and they're passed out on the ground and can't get their pulse or whatever, what do? You start administering CPR to what? Revive them, to bring them back to life. And I wonder if some Christians don't need some CPR. Hallelujah. Revival is needed because we've fallen away from the level of spiritual life that God intends for us to walk in. Revival refers to the restoration of spiritual life, the restoration of our spiritual passion, the restoration of spiritual vitality in the hearts and lives of Christians individually and as the church. The good news is that Jesus tells us that a spiritual reboot is possible. He tells us that he wants to revive us. He even outlines the steps that we need to take in order to experience that spiritual reboot. The first step is this. He says, remember. Remember from where you've fallen. What is he saying? He's saying, reflect on your relationship with the Lord, where you are now and where you were before. Remember your first love. Remember what it was like when you first got saved. When you first encountered God, when he first filled you with the Holy Spirit, when he delivered you out of darkness, and you fell in love head over heels with Jesus. Anybody remember that? Hallelujah. Okay, let me ask you a simpler question. Do you remember when you first fell in love with your spouse? or you first fell in love with someone. That first love is very intense, isn't it? That passion is just so strong. Everything is exciting as you're getting to know one another, and you can't wait to spend time with each other. You just touch hands, and there's like just this electricity that goes through your whole body. It's just so exciting. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Can you remember back that far? Amen? But first love is so strong that you can't stop thinking about the other person. And you can't stand being apart even for a short time. You miss them so much that even when you're away for just a few hours, you feel like it's been days. Do you remember what it was like when you first fell in love with your spouse and you couldn't get enough of them? Now you want to take separate vacation. No, not anybody here. What happens to that first love? Well, time passes and that intensity of emotion fades. In fact, science says that those intense feelings generally last 1 to 2 years. The in love feeling, that intense passion, generally lasts 1 to 2 years. That's when the couple starts to, you know, get accustomed to one another. And what used to be a thrill becomes, you know, ordinary. Holding one another's hands used to be a thrill. Now it's like, you're making my palms sweaty. I'm just being real, all right? It's okay to be real, all right? You know, you used to say all these sweet things to, I love you, I can't get enough of you. And now you wake up in the morning and you don't even say good morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's where we can say amen or oh me. Don't look at your spouse and elbow them. Don't want to cause any marital crisis. You know. But over time, you can begin to take for granted what once was so very special. And you still are performing your duty, right? You go to work, you keep up the house, you make meals, you mow the lawn, you pay the bills. You're still performing your duty. But the passion is gone. And some people, they'll come to speak to somebody, a counselor, a pastor, and they'll say, we just lost the love. We don't love each other anymore. We've fallen out of love. What they've done is they've lost the passion. They've allowed the fire to go out. Now, I want you to take that now, and I want you to transfer that over to our relationship with God. Remember your first love when you fell in love with Jesus? Remember when your heart burned within you and you had such a passion for Jesus that you couldn't get enough worship? You couldn't be in the house of the Lord enough. I've had young Christians tell me, do you have any more services other than just Sundays and Wednesdays? Do you have anything during? Why? Because they're so in love with Jesus. They're so in love with Jesus. Remember when you used to love to pray and you used to love to hear his word and you used to love to read the scriptures? Remember how excited you were to come to church and how hungry you were to learn his word? I hope it's not hard for you to remember, because I hope it was today. Hallelujah. But if it was before today, then let it be a red flag. Remember how eager you were once to be involved in ministry and to tell others about you. I remember a young Christian lady that was with our church several years ago, and I went to ask her to get involved in ministry, and she was so in love with Jesus. She said, anything for Jesus, Pastor. You can ask me anything for Jesus. And she literally was that way, because she was so in love with Jesus. Do you remember when it was like that for you to serve the Lord, to be involved in ministry? Where it was like anything for Jesus. I'll even sweep the floors of the church. Anything for Jesus. Do you remember what that was like? Was it ever like that for you? Were you ever in love with Jesus to that degree? Hallelujah. So Jesus says, remember from where you've fallen. And what he's also saying is recognize your present condition. Remember from where you've fallen. Remember how it used to be, how you used to be in love. And now look at where you are. You see, when we remember our first love, it causes us to realize how far we have fallen. With the Church of Ephesus, over time, they neglected their love for the Lord. They were continuing to do all the outward actions, but it was disconnected from their heart, from their passion for the Lord. They had lost that love, that passion for Jesus. There's a story that I read of a man and woman that were, they had been married several years, and they're riding in the car going somewhere. He's behind the driver's, behind the wheel, and she's, of course, sitting in the passenger seat. And as they're driving along, they see another car. And in that car, the couple are sitting right next to each other. And the woman said, "Why don't we sit like that anymore?" And the man looked at her and he said, "Who moved?" You know why? Because he was still behind the driver's wheel, right? And sometimes we say, "God, how come I can't feel you, God?" And God is saying, "Who moved?" Because he's still where he's always been. So who moved? In our relationship with the Lord, Jesus has not moved. Notice, he's in the midst of his church, walking in the midst of his church. He's here this morning. So who moved? Who moved? See, sometimes we allow distance to grow between us and the Lord. And it takes place so subtly over time that we don't even realize it until one day our heart is cold and we say, How did I get here? I wish it was like it used to be. It's awful quiet in here. But we begin to drift, not even realizing that our love for him is growing cold. And Jesus is warning us all that we can start out well, but if we are not careful, over time, we too can lose our first love. Yeah. Now I want to ask you a question. Can you recall a time in your spiritual life where you were closer to God than you are now? When you had a heart that burned with desire for him? Was there a time when you were closer to God, more in love with God, more passionate for him than you are now? If there was, one famed preacher said, if you were closer to God at a previous time than you are now, then that means you are backslidden. If there's ever a time in your life that you were closer to God than you are now, it means that you've backslidden. That's a profound thought. That's why Jesus says, think and remember how far you have fallen. Because sometimes we don't stop to think about it. And Jesus intends that remembering how far we've fallen will jolt us to action to take the next step to reboot, to be revived. And that next step, he tells us, is repent. Return to the Lord. In verse 5, Jesus says, repent. He's in the New Living Translation, it says, turn back to me. So what Jesus is saying is, recognize that you have been moving in the wrong direction. You have been moving away from me. You have been drifting away from me, spiritual drift. And repentance is recognizing that we have been moving in the wrong direction. But repentance is not merely regret. It's not merely feeling bad. It's not merely feeling sorry. As one Bible commentator states, repent means to change your direction. I always say, repent means to make a U-turn. And aren't you grateful God allows U-turns? Amen? So repentance means you recognize you're heading the wrong way, and you're going to turn around and go in a different direction. And when Jesus tells us to repent, it's an urgent appeal for instant action, for a change in our attitude, for a change in our behavior. The New Testament word for repent in Greek is metanoia, and it means a change of mind or change of direction. So repentance requires us to recognize that we have been heading in the wrong direction. We've been drifting away from Jesus. We have been drifting away from our passionate love for him into a place of spiritual complacency and indifference. And repentance requires us to recognize the spiritual danger that we are now in. And Jesus says, repent and do again your first works, or else, he's saying there's a consequence, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand. You will be cut out of the church, excluded from the people of God. Wow. So if they persisted in that state of spiritual decline and loveless religion, it would result in them forfeiting their place in his church. They'll still be operating like a church, but they won't be part of his church. They'll still, on the outside, be doing all the stuff a Christian does, but they won't truly have a relationship with Christ. You see, it applies to the church as a whole and individually as well. We can still go through all of the outward motions, but we're no longer a part of his body, no longer a part of his true church. We're no longer a part of the bride of Christ because our heart is far from him. So what Jesus is telling us is that this is no insignificant thing. This is not a light issue. And that's suggested by the word repent, which speaks of a turning from sin. And in this case, the sin is that of complacency, indifference, apathy, coldness. It's a turning from those attitudes, and it is a turning from whatever caused it. And Jesus is saying those attitudes are sin. It's getting quiet in here. And Jesus tells us, turn around before it is too late. He's pleading with his church. He's pleading with us. Turn around before it's too late. And it requires a definitive change, a change of mind, a change of heart, to recognize that losing our first love is not an insignificant thing. To the Lord, this is what is of utmost importance. Why? Because Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and with all of your soul. What is he saying? He's saying this is what is most important to God. And if we've lost what's most important to God, what does that say about our spiritual life? We need to repent. We need to change our mind. We need to realize the seriousness of our situation. And we need to change our direction. Say, God, I don't want to be complacent anymore. I don't want to be satisfied where I am. I don't want to be lukewarm anymore, Jesus. Lord, forgive me of allowing myself to become indifferent. And I turn to you in faith, and I'm going to pursue you, Lord God. I'm going to seek after you with everything that is within me. That's the call that Jesus is issuing to us. That's why he says, repent and return to the Lord. See, one of the main Hebrew words translated as repent in the Old Testament means to turn or to return, to seek and to restore. And that word is used more than 600 times in Scripture. It is the repeated call of the Old Testament prophets. If you read through the Old Testament prophets, you'll hear them time and again say, abandon your sinful ways and turn to the Lord with all of your heart. You hear that over and over again in the Old Testament. Abandon your sinful ways. Turn to the Lord with all of your heart, and he will have mercy on you. He will forgive your iniquities. He will heal your land, and he will restore, or he will revive you. That is a repeated message throughout Scripture. And the implication is we have strayed from God, and God is calling us to turn away from whatever has stolen the attention that belongs to him, whatever has robbed the affection and the devotion that belongs only to him. We need to turn away from it and ask his forgiveness, and we need to turn to him with our whole heart. What are some of the things that pull us away from him? Busyness, making more money, working out so we can get the body we want, job, people, hanging out with friends, social media, Nowadays, the average person spends 5 hours a day on social media. I can't even imagine. 5 hours a day. And then it's no wonder they say, I don't have any time to pray. Oh, Pastor, I don't have time to be in the Word. Oh, Pastor, I'm so busy, I can't come to church. Well, I'll watch it online. I've had two people over the last 3 years tell me something that just really grieved my heart. Now, oh, Pastor, we love watching the service online. Because while it's playing, we can listen to you and we can do something else in the house. And my heart just grieves because how can you really pay attention to the Lord? How can you really enter into His presence? How can you really hear Him speak to your heart? If you're cooking or you're working on the computer or you're doing anything else, does God not even deserve an hour and a half of our undevoted attention on a Sunday morning? Hallelujah. God is calling us back to Himself. He's calling us to return to Himself with our whole heart. He's calling us to a renewed closeness, a renewed intimacy. Let us turn to the Lord. Let us cry out for mercy and say, Lord, how did we allow it to get this way? Let us confess that we have lost our first love. Let us ask Him to forgive us for allowing our love to grow cold. Let us ask Him to forgive us for entertaining other loves of this world, for not loving Him the way He deserves. And the beautiful thing is that in His mercy, when we repent, He stands ready to forgive us and to receive us. So I want to ask you, I want to ask you, can you identify some of the things that have caused you to lose your first love? Busyness, being consumed with work, being distracted by other interests, neglect of prayer, neglect of worship, neglect of not participating regularly in the house of the Lord and the fellowship of other believers. What has caused your love to grow cold? Do you need to personally repent of apathy, complacency, indifference, lukewarmness? Then Jesus says, repent. Return to me. Seek me with your whole heart while there is still time. Because folks, I don't think we have much time left here on earth. When you see all the prophecies being fulfilled. You know, I was doing something for the church a while back in Wells Fargo. And I was talking to the business banker, and she was telling me, oh, she said, the world is moving towards a cashless society. She said, it's costing us more to process cash than it's worth. So everything is going electronic. And as soon as she said that, it was ding, ding, ding. The Bible talks of a cashless society when you're going to have a number, and without that number, you're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade. And the world's already getting there. Over the holidays, my niece was staying with me, and she had a friend from college, so my cousin and I took them to Dave & Buster's, and they have a snack bar in the arcade. And that snack bar, you walk in, and you scan your card or your phone or whatever. You go in, you pick up whatever you want, and you walk out. You don't have to check out or anything. It just senses what you have, and it automatically deducts it from your account. And Amazon has set up several brick and mortar stores just like this, and they believe that it's going to be even more widespread. McDonald's is moving to a fully automated system. Why? They said they can't afford to pay their workers $15 an hour. So they're going to lay off a bunch of workers. They're already prototyping these stores where you go in, you put your order on a computer, you don't even interface with a person, and then the food just comes out in this little window, and you go, automated. She works at McDonald's. She's saying it's true. See, the world is moving towards that. And this is Bible prophecy being fulfilled. And there's so many other things that we could talk about, but I don't think we have much time. And Jesus says, return to the Lord and seek Him with your whole heart while there is still time. Folks, the only time we're guaranteed of is right now. It's today. And then the third step. Jesus gives us a third step after we repent. He tells us to repeat, to redo your first works, or do again what you used to do when you first fell in love. You know, when counseling with couples who have lost their passion, oftentimes myself and other counselors will recommend the same thing. Go back and do the things you used to do, those little special nothings that you used to do when you were first in love. Remember when guys you used to, out of the blue, just bring flowers home for your wife? Well, I hope you at least used to do that, and you ought to start doing it again. Remember when you would just text or call in the middle of the day and say, I was just thinking about you. I can't get you off my mind. I'm so in love with you. Guys, I'm giving you some hints. It'll turn your marriage around. Hallelujah. Ladies, remember when you used to cook his special meal for no reason? Wasn't your anniversary or anything, but you just knew he loved it. Amen. Ladies, I'm giving you a clue. Ladies, remember when you used to dress up just out of the blue because he was coming home? Well. Hallelujah. You would fix that hair. You would slap the makeup on. You would take off the sweats and put on something nice. Hallelujah. And you would be amazed when couples start doing those things again, how it restores the passion. Jesus says, repeat, redo your first works. Return to those things that you used to do when you first fell in love with me. See, the problem with this church was that they had activity without intimacy, faithfulness without fervency, right doctrine without a right heart. So Jesus is not calling us to more activity. He's calling us to do again the things we used to do when we were in love with him, when we were closest to God, when following Jesus was the greatest joy of our life. So what are some of those first works? Think about how when you fell in love with Jesus, how reckless your passion for him was. Oh man, you would come to this altar and you would stay even after everybody was gone. Do you remember that? Do you remember when you were here for every service? When you were part of a small group in Sunday school? Remember? Remember when you were involved in ministry and you enjoyed it? Remember when you couldn't get enough of God's word, you would take the Bible with you to work, and on your lunch or on your break, you would take it out and you would read it? Do you remember how excited you were that you just wanted to tell everybody about Jesus? Remember how you couldn't get enough of his presence, you couldn't get enough worship? See, when you're in love with someone, they're always on your mind. They are always in your thoughts, whatever you're doing. You wake up thinking about them. As you go through the day, you're thinking about them. You're planning when you're going to be together again. You're planning what you're going to do together when you are together. And you are constantly doing special little things for them. Amen? And you're giving them things that you know that they like. You know? And it's not a burden to do it either. It's a joy. You get joy out of doing things that make them happy. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Amen? Jesus is calling us to that kind of love, yes. That he will be first in our mind in everything we do, where worship will not be a ritual. It'll be spending time in the presence of the one that we love the most, and we'll have a heart that says, I can't wait till when I can worship you again. Prayer won't be a routine, but it'll be talking to the love of our life and listening to him talk to it. Reading his word will not be a burden. Reading his word will be communicating with him. Serving in ministry won't be a task. It'll be doing what pleases him, because what pleases him brings joy to our heart. Hallelujah. Think about it. A young man in love decides he wants to get married. So he goes and he buys a ring, probably costing much more than he can actually afford at that stage in his life. But he doesn't count the cost, because his concern is showing her how much he loves her. And as a young Christian in love with Jesus, there was a time where we could not do too much for Jesus. We just wanted to do more and more and more. We loved him so much that we just wanted to be in his house as much as we could. We wanted to do ministry as much as we could. We wanted to tell as many people about Jesus as we could. We just wanted to do whatever we could to be with Jesus and to please Jesus. Jesus is calling us to be like the woman in the Gospels who anointed his feet with expensive ointment. And some watching that were religious criticized this lavish act of worship as a waste. What a waste! A whole year's salary poured out on his feet. They criticized him that this expensive perfume could have been sold and the money could have fed the poor. Why? Because they were religious and they had no love for Jesus. But she was in love with Jesus. Remember what Jesus says? He who has been forgiven of much also what? Loves much. And so she had so much love. The religious leaders, they didn't, because they thought they were all that in a bag of potato chips. They thought that they were so righteous, they didn't need Jesus to forgive them. So they didn't have any love for him because they didn't feel they needed him. But she knew her sinfulness. She knew she had been forgiven of much. And she was so in love with Jesus that she didn't consider the cost of the expensive perfume. She said, whatever I have, he is worth it. He's worthy. I give him my all. Everything I have, everything I am, it's his. Hallelujah. Why? Because she loved much. And I ask you, do you love much? Jesus calls us to do again our first works.
Yes, first works.
It's a call to do the things that we first did when we fell in love with him, so that it will refuel a passionate love for him. He's calling us to worship him again with abandon, not concerned about what anybody else would think. Do you remember when you would come to this altar and you didn't care what anybody else, I don't care if anybody sees me here. I don't care if I tremble. I don't care if I shout. I don't care if I look foolish. For you ladies, I don't care if my mascara falls all down my face. You didn't care. He just wanted to be in the presence of Jesus, to worship him with abandon. Remember how you used to witness for him with such excitement, telling everybody you could? And there was no thought, oh, they might reject me. Oh, they might mock me. You didn't care. You just wanted everybody to know about Jesus. Remember when you were involved in ministry, pouring yourself out with unrestrained joy? Jesus is saying, get committed to ministry again. Remember when you used to come to the house of the Lord as often as you could? You even wanted the doors to be open, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but other days of the week. Recommit to being in his house. I'm reminded of the story of a pastor that was visiting a member who had been missing from church for some time. And so he went to his home to visit him and to check on him and see what was going on and to, of course, encourage him to come back to the house of the Lord. So as the pastor was there, he's talking to this man, and the man is telling him, oh, you know, I can worship God here. I don't need to be in church. And the pastor just listened, and he knew it was probably pretty futile to argue with the man. So as he left, there was a fireplace there. As he left, he took a piece of wood from off of the fire, and he put it to the side. And he said, now what do you think is going to happen to that piece of wood? And the man said, well, the fire's going to die out. And the pastor said, that's what happens when we separate ourselves from the body of Christ. God bless you. Have a good day. And he left.
Wow.
Folks, you can watch service online.
Go ahead, Pastor.
But it's not the same
real,
as being among God's people.
Real,
being in fellowship with one another. Ministering to one another. Praying for one another. Enjoying one another's company, talking about the Lord together. Hallelujah. Jesus says, do again your first works. Stop counting the cost. Stop making excuses. Just recommit. And with unrestrained passion, do what you used to do when you first came to Him. What will be the result? Revival. Revival is the rekindling of the fire of passion by the power of the Holy Spirit. Revival is a restoration of our spiritual life. It's a restoration of fervency. It's a restoration of power. It's a restoration of witness. Hallelujah. I got to tell you, in December, I hadn't been able for some time to go out with our evangelism team. But now that my mother has gone to be with the Lord, in December when we had Saturate Saturday, I went out and it just rekindled such a fire inside of me. You know, talking to people. We were in the Publix parking lot talking to people about Jesus, giving them invitations. I got to pray with some people. And it just reignited that passion. See, do again your first works, and it's going to reignite that passion inside of you. When we repent, return to the Lord, and do again our first works, God will revive us. As one preacher said, remember your first love. Remember how much you loved Jesus when you first met Him, and go back to that. Love Him like you used to. It's as simple as that. Rebooting our relationship with the Lord means remembering our first love, repenting that we lost that passion, returning to the Lord, and doing again the things we first did when we were in love with Jesus. So I want us, as we close the service, to take some time to reflect and our relationship with God. Are you satisfied with where you are spiritually? More importantly, is God satisfied with where you are spiritually? Is God satisfied with your love for Him? And is there anything we need to repent of? Have we fallen from our first love? Have we become complacent? Have we drifted away from Him? Do we need to repent and return to Him? And then God is calling us to recommit to loving Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength by doing again the things we first did when we were in love with Him. So what areas of your life do you need to recommit to doing again? Is it prayer? Is it worship? Is it serving? Is it witnessing? Is it being in the house of the Lord? And we say, Lord, I return to You, and I commit to do again these things that I did when I was first in love with You. I want you to think about that for a moment.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray about it as we make a call to those that do not yet know the Lord. Because the first step to have a relationship with God is to place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and repent of our sins. See, the Bible says we've all sinned, and because of our sin, we were cut off from God. But when we repent, that means to turn away from our sin, and we turn to Him, and we place our faith in Him as our Savior, we are forgiven, and we begin a wonderful lifelong relationship with God. But it all starts with repentance and faith. So with your heads bowed, I want to ask you today, would you say, pray for me, Pastor? Because I want a relationship with God, and I need to repent, and I want to place my faith in Him. So if you're here today and you have never received Jesus as your Savior, or maybe you did so several years ago and you've drifted away and you can feel the Lord drawing you and saying you need to come back, if that's you, would you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus. Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else? Anyone else? Thank you for another. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for another. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask those of you that raised your hand and everyone else to encourage them. And those listening online that want to give your heart to Christ, would you pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. And I believe that You love me so much that You died for my sins. Today, I confess that I'm a sinner. I repent. I turn away from my sin. I ask You to forgive me, and I turn to You in faith. I invite You to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for You. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, amen. God has done exactly what you asked him to do. We had about 8 people raise their hand, and we praise God. All of heaven is rejoicing for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, and we want to help you grow, because that prayer is a beginning, not an ending. It's the beginning of a lifelong relationship with the Lord, and we want to help you grow in that relationship. So we're going to ask you, if you have your phone with you, if you would text "I prayed" to the number on the screen, or online type "I prayed" in the comments. Reason being, we want to send you free of charge a little booklet that is going to help you understand the prayer you just prayed and how to move forward in your relationship with the Lord. Just some basic steps to move forward in your relationship with the Lord. We want to send that to you free of charge. So if you would, just text "I prayed" to the number on the screen, or type "I prayed." We're going to send you a response message with a link. Click the link, fill in your name and email address so that we can send this book to you free of charge. But once again, congratulations. We do want to encourage those that just prayed and every believer to do 3 things regularly so you will grow in your relationship with God. And I don't think we can ever hear this enough, because we always need to be encouraged to do what the Lord is calling us to do. 1, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Amen. God is our Father. He wants to talk to us. So talk to God every single day. Thank him for the good things in your life. Every good thing comes from him. And then talk to him about whatever problems, decisions, difficulties you're facing, and ask his help. At a very basic level, that's prayer. God just wants you to talk to him every day. Secondly, let God talk to you every day. How does God talk to us? The number one way is through the Bible, his word to us. If you don't have a printed Bible, you can download the YouVersion app. That's YOU version app on your phone or tablet. It's free. You can read there as much as you want. There's never a charge. Begin reading in 1 John. It's a little book about Jesus and what he has done for us. Just read a few verses every day. Ask the Lord to help you understand what you're reading. What you don't, put it to the side. But what you do understand, ask God to put it into practice or to apply it to your life. So let God speak to you every day. And then thirdly, get connected to a local Assembly of God church. If you're here in South Florida, of course, we invite you to be a part of our church family. We want to walk alongside of you, pray with you, and encourage you in your journey with the Lord. But start getting connected to a church locally. Put down roots, develop relationships. That's what's going to help us to grow and keep growing and not get discouraged. But once again, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Amen. For those of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, he's calling us to reboot our relationship with him, to remove all the stuff that has bogged us down and return to our first love. So let us take some time to reflect on our relationship with God and ask you again the question, are you satisfied with where you are spiritually? And more importantly, is God satisfied with where you are spiritually? Is God satisfied with your love for him? Do we need to repent of having fallen away from our first love, that passionate love? Let's remember our first love. Let's repent if we have moved away from that. And let's return to the Lord and recommit to doing the things that we first did that fuel our passion. So you might need to recommit to praying daily, not as a duty, but spending time with the Lord and just talking to him. You may need to recommit to reading his word daily, not to check a box, but to hear God speaking to you. You may need to recommit to regularly being in the house of the Lord with an eagerness to worship, to encounter God, to learn his word, and to fellowship with other believers. We may need to recommit to loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. I don't know what area you need to recommit in. Maybe it's all of the above. But if you would say, I want to return to my first love. I want that passion restored. I want to be revived. And I'm ready to repent before the Lord, return to him, and recommit in any of these areas. If that's you, would you stand to your feet right where you are? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you just to slip out and make your way to this altar. I think there's something important about coming to the altar and meeting with God. It's a place of commitment. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of encounter. And would you just take a moment and talk to him from your heart? Talk to him from your heart. He wants to hear from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just stand before you this morning. We stand bare in your presence because there are no pretenses with you. We may be able to pretend with people, but you see our heart. You know the depths of our soul. You know whether or not we have lost our first love. There's nothing we can hide from you. And so, Lord, if we have drifted away from our first love, we repent. We ask you to forgive us. Forgive us of allowing ourselves to become complacent, lukewarm, indifferent. And Lord, forgive us of the things that we have allowed to creep into our life that have distracted us from you. As we stand before you today, Lord God, we commit ourselves to return to you with our whole heart. We want to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so we recommit ourselves today to do again our first works. You know the area that you are dealing with in our heart, Lord God. And we recommit in those areas. For some, we are recommitting to reading your word daily. For some, we're recommitting to praying daily. For some, we're recommitting to a renewed commitment to being in your house. For some, we are recommitting to being involved in ministry or witnessing, Lord. For some, we need to recommit to all of these things. But Father, we know that in our flesh, we cannot do it ourselves. So as we make this commitment, we ask the help of your Holy Spirit, oh God. Father, we want to be revived. We want to be renewed. We want to be restored. We want to be in love with you, Jesus, with all that is within us. So do this work in us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.